The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling
now.
My shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Okay, after 12 years, I don't understand what just happened. The intro of the Doug and Wolf Show played, and as it's playing, Ron Wolfley asked the question, which you're going to be offended by this, but it was the dumbest question I've ever heard you ask.
No.
How much time do we have?
Right.
But, I mean, the intro's on, and then you started to walk out. And
I
then
had
you
no idea the intro was
and
on.
And then you hesitated, and then you bailed, and then you came back.
I was trying to actually listen for Maloney.
Oh, I see.
And her update right there. Is that what that, does Maloney call it an update? That's what I want to know.
I think she does, but I don't know.
It's a sports update. Good morning, Masonians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz, The Doug and Wolf Show.
Savages.
In the morning. You know what? I get five-year-olds coming up to me all the time. Boy, look, savages.
No
way. Kid you not. Oh, yeah. Oh, walking around. Look, Daddy, savages. Of course, Daddy tells them we're the savages.
I see.
Right? Savages in the morning right there. Do it. Do it. I also get that. Just do it. What? What do you mean? Do it. Are you talking to me? Right? It's just
and the five-year-old sounds like that?
It just, they try to.
I see.
Know, even Maloney's got a mimic of me. I can't even stand it. Bear does it all the time as well. I mean, honestly.
You know,
I try to talk like this.
We need to throw Maloney under the bus because we still have yet to hear the Grant Hill wolf mimic.
What do you mean? Grant Hill.
But Grant Hill swore he had a good imitation of you. But he said, I'll do it after I retire. And he's never come back on.
Why hasn't he come back on? Grant Hill.
I have no problem throwing myself under the bus. He was a text buddy, and now he's never texted me back since he left.
We talked to Grant Hill one time, Basinonians. Was it one time?
No, we had him on like three times as a player.
Okay, but we talked to him one time out of those three times. And I can tell you right now, it was absolute gold. He said one of the greatest things I've ever heard, and it was from his mother. And his mother told him, Grant, don't fear failure. Fear success. I've carried that with me for the longest time, right? And just to see it enunciated so perfectly, so beautifully, so plainly. It was just a beautiful thing, a reminder constantly. And I pass it along to my kids now. I say it to them all the time. Don't fear failure. Fear success. Because that'll change you. My young Krug brothers.
The most profound thing Grant Hill ever said to me was, where's Bobby?
What do you mean, where's Bobby?
Meaning, I thought Grant Hill was like a friend, like a close friend of the Doug and Wolf Show.
Yeah.
Because he was a pretty regular listener. And for those of you that don't remember, Wolf nicknamed the bench Planet Purple.
Right, Planet Purple.
They and one good. Game, the bench rose up and won a game, didn't get taken out.
Yeah.
And you can hear Grant Hill at Suns.com at the time yelling Planet Purple.
Right. There. Wow. Knock it off.
Bear's on fire today.
What are you doing this morning?
Well done, Bear. You hear he's yelling Planet Purple, and like that was completely off the cuff, so clearly he's a listener. So I think that, you know, Grant Hill and all of us on this show are very, very close. Well, then Grant Hill leaves the Suns, and I don't know if I said something, but he stops texting me back on anything.
You did. You said
something. Probably. And then 1 year, I'm doing, for those of you who don't know, I try to help out ASU when they ask, and I do play-by-play for the basketball team sometimes if Tim Healy has a conflict. So Kyle Dodd and I were in Orlando for a basketball tournament that ASU was in.
Dottie.
And it's dark outside. I'm leaving the arena. Kyle's with me. And as we walk out, Grant Hill and somebody else are walking up.
Dodd.
And I just said, Grant, what's up? You know what? Are there any issues? I just bluntly said it. What's up? Are there any issues? And he goes, no, everything's good. Why are you here? And I just said, oh, because I'm with ASU and we've got this. He goes, you're with ASU? And he kind of said it. And yeah. And he, well, where's Bobby? And I said, well,
wait a minute. Where's Bobby? He wasn't talking about me, was he?
No, you're not Bobby.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He meant Bobby Hurley. He's the head coach of Arizona State basketball. They kind of have a friendship. They played together at Duke.
Okay.
And then I said, oh, well, he's downstairs, but they're getting ready to get on the bus. We're done. And he goes, oh, okay, I didn't know he was here. And then he left. And then that was my entire conversation. So it was basically the quick straight arm. You know, you're really not that close to me as you think you are.
That's that's interesting.
Yeah, so where's Bobby is what resonates with me.
Let that be a reminder to you as well.
It was.
Speaking of reminders right there, did you happen to see, ladies and gentlemen, did you see the Coyotes game last night by any stretch of the imagination?
I did see the Coyotes game.
Dylan Strome! Oh, goal! Did you actually see Dylan Strome score that goal right there?
I saw Dylan Strome score
the power play goal. Did you see
the
effort from Dylan Strome?
I saw the effort
on this goal. Actually sprawling to the ice to get the puck to the point, then got it back, then scored. Look, if there's one guy, ladies and gentlemen, the Arizona Coyotes could look at one guy and say, you know what? That guy. Let the light bulb come on for that guy. It would be Dylan Strome.
That's one of those goals where every coach at every level should show, because you scored a pretty goal because of your effort, you know, because you played ugly.
Unbelievable.
And then you got a pretty goal because of it, and not a lot of players are willing to sacrifice.
And
to Antti
Raanta wasn't bad, especially in the shootout.
That second goal was bad.
Oh!
But the first goal, man, he made four saves, and the defense completely let him down. Two breakaways that he stopped, and then all three. And then the one shot in the overtime. When he had the glove save coming down the right side. Ooh, that should have been a game ender. Yeah, he was on fire. Anyway, that's number three, so we'll go through that a lot faster.
Where's Bobby?
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five.
Text me back. One time, Grant. One
you
time.
Can't go to work without knowing these five huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
You know, I don't have a button for necessarily for number six or anything.
Six.
But number six this morning in the starting five is Bear nailing Planet Purple. I mean, that was fantastic for
what
Bear
are you
to be.
Doing?
Yeah, that's engagement.
Number five.
Number five this morning. So Jimmy Butler attends basically his first T-Wolves practice and supposedly goes off near the scrimmage time at the end, takes all the worst players in training camp, beats everybody else with them, and the entire time of practice, he's yelling at the general manager, "You need me. You need me," even though he's the one that doesn't want to be there. Jimmy Butler was then asked afterwards, is all that report from Adrian Wojnarowski about practice true?
A lot of it's true.
Okay.
A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm so passionate, and I love the game, and I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang.
I think the follow-up naturally would be, are you nuts?
He is, in a good way. By the way, the reason why you need to know all about Jimmy Butler, there are some people that think the Suns are a part of the Jimmy Butler trade rumors, not to get Butler, but to be the third team with the Heat, possibly get Goran Dragic and find themselves a point guard.
Number four.
Number four this morning. As a broadcaster and an ASU fan, everybody should be thrilled with this. If you're the agent of the coach, you should not be happy with this.
Over the next 2 years, we'll be really good on defense, or I'll quit. Promise. We will be really good on defense, or I won't be here.
That is the Arizona State defensive coordinator, Danny Gonzalez. Did that get your attention?
Danny Gonzalez got a little Buddy Ryan in him.
Number three!
Number three this morning. Wolf already talked about it, but it was awesome.
In on Raanta. Stopped by Raanta. Coyotes win, and they get their first win of the season. Gutsy as it gets.
That's the play-by-play on Fox Sports Arizona as Antti Raanta stuffs all three shots for the Anaheim Ducks. And the Coyotes score on their first shot of the shootout, and then they win the shootout 1-0, the game 3-2.
What was Silverberg doing? That's the question we're going to ask.
Kind of fell apart.
Number two.
Number two this morning, DeAndre Ayton and the Suns preseason. Okay, they lose the last preseason game. But that's not the big news. The big news comes out of the trial that's ongoing in New York City, where the opening state, the beginning of the trial, opened up about Arizona and Arizona State. Now the latest is a government informant says, yes, I paid $100,000 to the family of DeAndre Ayton.
More on this as the show unfolds.
Number one.
And the number one thing you need to know about this morning, he likes it.
I love, people yelling and screaming at shit. I mean, that's part of sports. It's fun.
Josh Rosen explains he'll be just fine in front of the amazing crowd at Minnesota. He lying to himself or you buy it? Is he built for this or will he wilt under this? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to get up, brothers, right? It's the day before we play some Lover Boy. Bang the cowbell if you've got it, ladies and gentlemen.
I refuse.
Oh, bang it, man. Can you feel it this morning? It is momentous, is it not? Your day is ahead of you, ladies and gentlemen. What are you going to do with it? That's the question we ask my young Krug brothers. Where are we going in this beautiful part of the program? Oh, another young Krunk brother, Josh Rosen.
We have, I think a lot of you know this, but if you're new to the show, I'm kind of an SEC honk. After you live in Alabama for 5 years, you fall in love with the SEC because those people take football to a level that you just don't, you can't fathom until you experience.
And Leonard Skinner.
That's true. That's true. And even though Texas A&M is new to the SEC, it's real. I mean, the environment, and I haven't been through a Texas A&M environment, but just watching it and knowing what the other schools are like. And yesterday at practice, Josh Rosen told a fantastic story. And I admit I had watched the game and totally, I mean, through all the Josh Rosen stuff about him getting drafted, what people thought of him, things like that, I had totally forgotten this story. And it was just fantastic. He's describing just how prepared he is for the Minnesota Vikings crowd, that he's really not worried about it and even likes playing in front of a crowd like that that's heckling him and going crazy.
Yeah, I love, like, people yelling and screaming at shit. I mean, that's why it's part of sports. That's why it's fun.
And part of it is, though, being able to shut them up, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's just like the quick silence of like a long, like a tough third down or something in the red zone. Like, those are pretty fun.
Where do we begin?
I like that. That
right
he's embracing
just the
that.
Fact he's embracing
better be able to handle
right
it, but
now,
I like
you know,
it.
Honestly. Well, look it. It's one thing to say it, and it's one thing to live it. Okay, it's one thing to say it, ladies and gentlemen. That, you know what? I love that. I love that when the opposing crowd gets crazy and they get loud and they get nuts and they start calling me names. There are some people that actually love that, right, and thrive mm-hmm. off of that. And hopefully that's going to be the case with Josh Rosen.
Yeah,
let's just wait and see if, in fact,
right.
it materializes. It is the case with him.
Well, the
jury's still out on a lot of this stuff, and I have seen it, ladies and gentlemen. I have walked out there in many, many stadiums, many unbelievably loud stadiums where you can't even hear yourself screaming at another man who's standing 3 feet away from you. You can't hear it. It is disconcerting, to say the least. He's going to have to be able to deal with all of this, and I think the jury is still out on all of this.
Now, especially when, even though the Pac-12 is considered a big conference, it's, come on, there's not real SEC noise going on in the Pac-12. And so I don't
You're
know.
Just trying to jab people.
No, I mean, but it's
right
true,
now.
Though. I'm really not. I mean, it's true.
You go to Washington, are you kidding me? It's loud up there.
Yeah, it's just raining, so it gets muted. So when you look at Rosen, he experienced the real thing at Texas A&M in that one game. And if I talk about something on air, I can promise you I'm going to do everything I can to have a lot of homework done. I didn't know the full story until I heard Josh Rosen talk about it, because I knew I was never going to talk about this on air. And so I didn't really do the homework. I remember the story of Josh Rosen at the time just talking about there's only, you know, what, I don't care. It's all the same after 50,000 people. And he said something like that. And he had a bad game at Texas A&M. And the crowd is going nuts. And they started chanting 50,000.
Right.
And they were mocking him because there's about 104.
Let's see, do
at
I
Texas
remember
A&M.
That? No.
No. Well, I didn't know that there was so much more to the story, that he was taken out of context, and he really didn't say there's only 50,000.
In an interview, I was talking about crowd noise and stuff, and I was like, honestly, once it gets up there, you just can't hear regardless, 50, 60, 70,000. It's just, you just can't hear, and it was taken a little out of context. They're saying it's like 50,000 people there. So, like, getting into the game and the entire crowd collectively is chanting 50,000. But, I mean, we walked out in our final drive. I was actually getting them going because I like that kind of stuff. It's fun.
That's good. That's good stuff right there. I mean, he just, he, honestly, just the organic nature of the story, first and foremost, right?
Yeah.
Love that right there. And can you imagine what Jared Goff would get? All right. Sun rises in the east. That doesn't work out very well, does it?
But when you listen to him, and you listen to his story, you've been on our last, I think he threw three picks in that game.
Yes.
And he says, but in that last drive, you know, I was ready. I was going. And things like that. And he says he embraced it. He left that quiet silence after we converted third down.
Yes.
He is the Joker. I mean, I mean, the way he manipulates these little stories of things that should intimidate and have fear, he's able to just kind of embrace.
Let's put a smile on that face.
I mean, this is really who this kid is. It's fantastic.
You know, honestly,
I hope he succeeds.
I do. I love it, because for us that know Josh Rosen here, we're starting to get a picture of him, are we not?
Yes.
We're starting to feel like we kind of do know this kid. And this kid has been misrepresented, let's put it this way.
Yes, he has.
He really has. He's misunderstood, I think, nationally. But you know what it does? It gives him this villainous quality.
Why so serious?
It gives him this villainous quality that people that don't know him, he rubs you the wrong way. He's like Doug Lease, as a matter of fact. If you don't know Doug Lease, it's just going to be like, what? Who is this guy? Who is this dude? Just shut it, right? But after a while, you get to actually understand his insanity and his craziness and where he's coming from. I think we're starting to feel that with Josh Rosen, that we get to know this guy a little bit each day that goes by, where I think the nation, nationally, I think there's still that villainous, that villainous quality to him, which makes him the Joker.
Even to a guy like me, that's cold.
And I love it, right? The Joker, brilliant, as we all know. The Joker is wild, of course, and so is Josh Rosen. Can't wait to see how he plays coming up here, right? We were talking yesterday, a big game plan day yesterday. Wednesday's a huge game plan day for the Arizona Cardinals, especially their offense. We talk about it every Wednesday, right? Josh Rosen, protect the ball above all else. Because that is the first thing that will unravel, absolutely unravel, the Arizona Cardinals up in Minnesota. The first thing that will do it, turnovers. Like that, on the road. Especially since the Vikings haven't generated a lot of takeaways. They only have 6 takeaways on the season. They're bottom third in regard to actually generating takeaways. We're talking about a defense that is absolutely loaded.
It's got talent, and it's got one of the best defensive coaches in football.
Unbelievable.
That's scary. That means, you know, if you're a positive-thinking Vikings fan, you have to believe.
They're coming.
Yeah, here we go. This will be the game that we get everything on track. This is Josh Rosen talking about specifically the Minnesota crowd noise.
I think we start using signals, get on silent counts. Sometimes when you have to time up snap points with certain motions, it gets a little tricky with silent, but that's just stuff you got to work on throughout the week. I mean, we've got a lot of signals for play. Sometimes in the huddle, you got to squeeze in a little bit tighter, be more efficient with making sure you're calling the formation and calling everything correctly off the bat, because it's kind of hard to adjust if you've broken a huddle and people are in the wrong spot. So, like, if I don't flip the play right on my wristband, there might be issues. But for the most part, you just got to be a little sharper and cleaner and crisper on everything.
The silent count really has changed the game of football. It really has. It has changed the game of football, and it has been such a huge plus for an offense traveling on the road, right? Because of all the noise and how difficult it was. Offensive linemen used to hold hands, and that's how they knew, okay, hey, time to move, right? It's crazy, right, the way that development has changed the game, but Josh Rosen, he's going to have to protect the ball. It's going to be a huge game, a huge test for him. And the Minnesota Vikings, let me tell you right now, by way of beating the Philadelphia Eagles on the road, they are supercharged for this game at home. They're ready. They're going to get the Vikings' best. And they're good.
But so far, no picks as a starting quarterback. And he even blamed himself for the one sack. So you don't have to worry about fumbles either if he's picking that up and getting better. Join Kevin McCabe and AZ Preps Live this Saturday from 9 to 11 at the Chick-fil-A on 16th Street and Camelback in Phoenix. You'll have the chance to win free Chick-fil-A for a year, Suns and Coyotes tickets, and more. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for details on the Chick-fil-A High School Roadshow Football Series. All right. Coming up next. The Suns wrapped up their preseason last night, and nobody cared about that. The key is, DeAndre, will you be distracted? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A lot to get to today about the Phoenix Suns, and very little of it has to do with what has taken place in Portland. The Suns a loser yesterday, 116-83 to wrap up the preseason. All you need to know about the serious tone of the game is the Suns lost the first quarter 39-18.
Boy, that was bad.
39-18. Now, before I dive into the game, full disclosure, I'm too cheap to have the NBA League pass just to see one game.
Yes.
That's good, Doug. Way to own it.
I could have had the 7-day free trial that Maloney dumped on me. He says, why did you get the trial? I, I didn't really think about it. I was watching the Coyotes. But I saw zero of this game. Listened a little bit to Al and Tim sometimes, but I was really focused on the Coyotes and some old college football games that are still on the DVR from last weekend.
Right. You're not wasting the free trial on the preseason.
Yeah, so I didn't do that. So I did not see the game. But read about it, and it clearly showed this was not a game that was important to really anybody for the Suns. It was one of those, hey, stay healthy, don't get hurt, the last preseason game. If you care about Ayton, 3 of 4, which I always care about, 9 points, 4 rebounds, doesn't sound good, but when you realize, as Maloney just said at the update, it's an update, Paul, you only play 15 minutes, 9 points, 4 boards, isn't that bad.
It's cool. You can call it whatever you want. Over in our camp, it's a finely crafted hand, you know, whatever. Just go ahead.
Exactly. I had two thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. Number one was, when does a regular season start? Number two is, when does Devin Booker get back? I mean, what is those two questions right there? That's what we want to know.
You know, I looked it up today. Seriously, I walked in. I said, when does the regular season start? It's next Wednesday night.
Yeah.
They're going to host the Mavericks. I knew they were going to host the Mavericks. So I wasn't exactly sure what. We're at the point now in the NBA preseason, it's akin to NFL training camp when the media does the story on the long snapper.
That's when
you know you're ready to start the regular season.
Remember the immortal quote from American philosopher Steve Kerr in the last game, go ahead, I don't want to be here anyway.
That's right.
As he ran out of the court.
That's right.
And got
the buffet
ejected.
Was out. It was late third quarter. The buffet was out in the locker room.
The other thing you need to know about last night's
Stroganoff, Paul.
Is in games that the team somewhat took seriously, you hardly saw any of Dragan Bender. In a game that they did not care about, Dragan Bender played 36 minutes, still only had 7 points and went 1 for 5 from three against mostly Portland's backup players as well. Now that Ryan McDonough is gone, the general manager who drafted Dragan Bender, I don't know if Igor looks at Bender as a lost cause. I don't know if Igor looks at Bender and says, you know what, I'm here to now win. They've said the rebuild is over. They've already fired the general manager that hired me. I don't know if I'm on a short leash, but I got to start winning. I don't see them spending a lot of time teaching Bender on the floor for games. A lot of time at practice, a lot of time after practice. Yeah. I've been told by 900 people, Igor will work for 24 straight hours if you want to improve your game. So the opportunity for Bender will be there in practice. And after practice, I'm getting the feeling there will be zero opportunities for him to develop on the court during a game. And I haven't seen enough to believe he deserves that time either.
Well, if I'm Coach Igor, I do not play Dragan Bender. And if the owner says anything, I look him right in the eye and said, you went on the air on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station and said, it's time to win. It's time to flip that switch. Well, guess what? Dragan Bender does not give us a very good chance to win.
Exactly right.
He can work on the side. He can work on his game. He's still 21. I mean, just work on the side. You can conduct your own little G League over there and do whatever you want, but you're not getting into a game because we're trying to win, because last 3 years we've won 25, 24, and 21 games, and Dragan Bender does not give us any sort of chance the way his game is right now to make anyone else better on that floor.
You know what's amazing, though, looking at the box score, Basinonians, because we did not see it, of course, at the Wolfley compound for all the reasons Doug Lease already talked about, but Josh Jackson, in a game where you could tell, you know what, hey, listen, DeAndre Ayton, you're going to play 15 minutes. Ryan Anderson, Trevor Ariza, guess what? You're going to play 5 and 7, respectively. We're just not going to play you guys, okay? Josh Jackson played 28 minutes. 28 minutes, and by the way, he's averaged, what, almost 33 minutes throughout the preseason.
Yeah.
So what is it, right? I mean, are they trying to see something out of Josh Jackson? Heck no. What are they trying to teach him? That's what it is I want to know.
Point guard, to answer your question. Were they teaching him point guard? Was he running the point?
It does seem like he's running a point forward position so far. He really does. I totally, right now I don't like it. I want the game to come to him.
I don't think they're trying to teach him to be a point guard. I think they're trying to actually see if they can possibly run
get away with it for a while. There's some truth there. Now, that's the game. Unfortunately, the bigger story is coming out of New York City. If you haven't been following what's been going on, I'm kind of a wannabe legal geek. I'm really interested in stuff like this. I don't know why it's a curse. And there's a court case going on in which, if you remember everything that happened at U of A and the arresting of different assistant coaches around college basketball, and now that case is at trial. And it opened up with ASU and U of A both getting thrown under the bus, if you didn't know, in which there's a recording of one informant and then different executives and people around the room talking to a parent and describing, saying, listen, we all win with this situation because we try to get the young men into our grassroots system early, and then we can try to funnel them to an Adidas school. And he starts listing Adidas schools, and he names Arizona State. And then he says, then you get to go to a school like that. Then you get to have the Adidas apparel, so Adidas wins. And then you choose us as your agent. When you come out of college, we all win. But then he says, but don't worry, I used to work for Nike, so I've got plenty of connections to Nike schools. And he names a few and names U of A. So both ASU and U of A, doesn't mean either of them are guilty, which means their name is actually documented on a wiretap video. I shouldn't say wiretap, but on a video that's by the FBI. So that's story one. Now, the latest is the government informant, one of the guys they got to flip to be able to testify for the prosecution,
yes,
listed a group of players that he gave money to their family. And DeAndre Ayton was the number one guy on the list that he mentioned.
Yeah. Mm.
As of right now, DeAndre Ayton is not guilty or hasn't even been implicated. There's no testimony whatsoever that points a finger at him for violating any kind of federal law. However, this is a young man that said specifically, I never did any of this. I'm not involved in this at all, and never said it under oath. So he's not guilty of perjury either. But what about the distraction level? Now that this is out, the media has to go up to DeAndre Ayton and say, what do you think of having your name mentioned in a federal trial that you were given money? Is that going to be a distraction for DeAndre Ayton going into the very first game of his life as an NBA professional?
Well, it's not good. There's no doubt about it. This is not good, Basinonians. This is the last thing you want your rookie center to be thinking of as he gets ready to start the season. You don't want him answering questions about his past when he's trying to actually make his way at the highest level our species can generate. You don't want that actually going. This is a distraction. This is a distraction, and distractions are bad. Is it not, Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
Bad.
But it doesn't seem to have staying power to me. I'm not going to disagree, Wolf, but they're going to come through the media, and they're going to ask that first wave of questions. Geez, what about you? And then he's going to shut it down and say, I'm looking forward. I'm not going in the past. I'm in the NBA. I'm done with college ball. And then I think it'll be done from there.
The problem is this is ongoing, is it not?
We're in the middle of the trial.
Not for Ayton, though. I think this is the one and only time he gets mentioned and or implicated, I believe. To me, the bigger scenario is what it means for U of A.
Yes.
And Sean Miller, because his voice is on one of the wiretaps, right?
Yeah. But again, I mean,
Mark Schlabach looks pretty
that's
good
what I'm
right
talking
now.
About. It's just like we go ahead and we talk about a story based on Ayton's, then a week later, the story's been advanced, so we talk about it again.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to go away that quickly. You might be right, Paulie.
I don't think any of us know as we kind of sit back and watch what's going to happen. But I am totally with Paul that this is up to DeAndre how he chooses to handle. It's a much bigger issue for U of A than it really is for DeAndre Ayton, because there's nothing against the law for a college kid to take payments, a college family to take payments. It's against NCAA rules, but it's not against federal law. The case is federal law against the Adidas executives and against the colleges. That's a little different.
I have to admit, I totally laughed out loud when I heard this. Let me read you this paragraph. TJ Gasnola was called as a government witness in its wire fraud case against Adidas executive James Gatto. I mean, just knock it off. It's like a stereotype. Just please.
So you're saying this is an episode of
The Onion?
Is it The Sopranos? Is that what you're saying? An episode of The Sopranos?
TJ Gasnola and James Gatto.
Yeah. Who, in a conversation with Johnny two times, he said.
This is right out of The Onion.
Right, right. And another wiretap with Paulie Walnuts.
I still don't understand why we got introduced to two times, and yet he was never in the rest of the movie. Coming up next, yesterday, an ASU assistant coach put his entire job on the line.
I'll quit.
Whoa. If you're his agent, no. If you're a fan, feel good about this guy. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So let's bring you into the Arizona sports family. Good morning.
Grind it.
Here's the email chain from yesterday that I was like, okay, whatever. We get an email. I don't know if Wolf ever actually pays attention to him or anything. But we get an email and it says, hey, look at this. And it's just some information on some of the sound, as we call it in the business, that was sent in for everything to do with Arizona State football. And, okay, that's good. That's a good, thanks. And then we had Matt Lehman say, wait, I should have actually done some cuts. You should hear the Danny Gonzalez. And you're like, oh, okay. And then the next email is from Bernsey loving the sound. And then Vince sends one, hey, to echo Bernsey's thoughts, I really like Danny Gonzalez.
Wow, Vinny endorsed it.
So there's this big buildup to whatever it is Danny Gonzalez said. And I'm thinking, okay, I can't wait to hear what Danny Gonzalez said.
Danny.
And I hit the first quote, and I'm like, well, okay, that's good.
We're 3-3. That's average. Give him a C. Who we're playing with, as far as experience-wise, not that they're not good players, they just haven't played a lot. I mean, from last year's team, you lose your leading tackler, you lose your leading pressure up front. I mean, you lose a couple guys that leave early that were really good players in the Pac-12. You lose a couple guys in the secondary. So now you're playing with brand new linebackers that have had zero experience.
So
it's amazing, man.
Yeah,
it is.
So I'm listening to it, and I'm like, okay, I like that. But man, why are these guys freaking out? I mean, yeah. I like his bluntness that the guy says, hey, we get a C because we're 3-3. Give him a C. But he gives reasons, not excuses, but gives reasons.
Sure.
But it's still, well, you're giving reasons why it wasn't that impressive of a statement. I'm like, okay, why are these guys freaking out? And then I heard the next one. And I thought, wait, what did he say? And then he repeated it. I thought, wait, you can't say that.
In my opinion, we're still not very good on defense. Ah. We're good enough to be in games. That ain't good enough. Over the next 2 years, we'll be really good on defense or I'll quit.
What?
Promise. We will be really good on defense or I won't be here.
That is so good right there. Honestly, listen, if Danny is actually saying that, though, do you think he actually has raw material to work with? Yes. He does. There's no doubt about that, right? And he was talking about all the changes, especially up front when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Five of the six box players for the Sun Devils are new or inexperienced. Let's put it that way. As he said, it's a better way of saying it. Not brand new, not young, but inexperienced for the most part, right? They lost a lot of people on the defensive side of the ball, but he's got a lot of young players that he really, really likes. That to me, when I heard him say that, I thought, wow, he must really like these young guys.
It's funny. I look at it two ways. If I think of it from a public relations standpoint and I'm his agent, what are you doing? What if you've got injuries 2 years from now? What if the recruiting guys, what if a 16-year-old kid you're excited about getting changes his mind? What about this? What about this? And you're worried about a guy saying that because you know what's going to happen to the media.
Yeah.
If they get if Chip Kelly starts to figure it out at UCLA and they come in here and torch ASU, then everyone's going to go to Danny Gonzalez. His defense doesn't look better. You're going to quit. Defense doesn't look better. You're going to quit. I mean, he's going to have to be answering that forever.
Yeah.
But if I'm an ASU fan, man, did that make me stand up? Man, do I love this guy?
Can I also say this quickly, ladies and gentlemen? But Danny Gonzalez, he might not even be here in 2 years.
That's true too. Maybe he already knows that he could be a hot commodity, especially if he does well. Have you subscribed to the Doug and Wolf podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or Android, and you'll never miss any of the show. It's the Doug and Wolf podcast. It's brought to you this week by PhoenixHousePainting.com.
Research and Doug. Research and Doug.
This is how this works. Scavenge the internet as a savage. Try to find everything I can that interests me statistically. It goes through the filter of Maloney. She eliminates the ones she thinks are boring. We present them to Wolf and try to rock his world.
Yes.
That's how this works. Maloney, what did you like?
Well, first, when I got this list, I was shocked. 49 of them?
Is there really? I didn't know how many I did.
What do you do at night besides try to find stats? But the first one, Pat Coffey to Gus Tinsley in 1937 and MC Reynolds to John David Crow in 1958 are the only rookie-to-rookie touchdown passes in Cardinals history longer than Rosen to Kirk.
Oh, John David Crow. Are you serious? You know what? Hopefully this is going to be the beginning of many, many touchdowns. Josh Rosen in the preseason as well. Remember some of the throws in the preseason, the touchdown pass to Christian Kirk as well. Hopefully this chemistry between these two young guys is going to get only stronger and stronger with each passing week.
Now, on this next one, Wolf won't find this as entertaining, but I'm watching Bear. I'm watching Bear on this one because I want to see if Bear thinks this is as funny as I do.
I almost want to skip it.
No, come on.
Cam Dicker is the kicker for Texas.
Cam Dicker. What?
Dicker the kicker.
No, no.
He's the kid's name for Texas.
Digger, didn't
no,
you?
No, no, no. It's
no,
Dicker.
No, knock it off.
Yeah, it's Dicker the kicker. Come on, Bear.
You're so sophomoric.
What?
All of you.
It's just because it rhymes. Dicker the kicker.
Come on.
How funny is that?
Are you serious? His last name is Dicker.
That's the Texas's kicker. Is Dicker the kicker.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Come on.
Please. Please.
What?
At what point? And I know it's childish. I get that. Oh, Dicker!
I've handled dozens of balls.
Please stop it.
Over the past week.
What?
At some point in time, if my name is, I don't know, Ron Dicker, ladies and gentlemen, I'm changing the name. It's not pronounced that. It's Dicker. It's Dicker. It's not Dicker.
That might not help you either.
Please, are you serious?
Anyway, I'm just going to move on to the next one.
Okay.
So 9 times in NFL history, a quarterback has thrown for 5,000 yards in a season, 5 seasons by Drew Brees, and 4 by every other NFL quarterback combined.
He's good.
At some point in time, honestly, just change your last name. Just do it. Just make the paradigm shift. And do it for your family.
This one will stop Wolf in his tracks.
Mason Cole has started every game his team has played in since his freshman year of high school.
No way. High school as well?
Yeah.
He's played in every game.
He started halfway through his freshman year on varsity and has never stopped starting since.
That is phenomenal.
Including Michigan, where it had never been done. And now he does it for the Arizona Cardinals.
That is absolutely phenomenal right there. Not only that, it speaks to his availability as well, right? Football players in particular, Basinonians, they got to be dependable and accountable above all else. And the fact that he was available, which is part of being dependable, in all of those games, that's amazing.
The Rams scored 33 points against Seattle, tied for their lowest point total of the season.
Okay, they're good. What's your point?
33 to 13, 34 to nothing, 35 to 23, 38 to 31, 33 to 31.
Yeah, they're really, really good. So is Jared Goff. Good. It's hard. It's a hard thing for me to say, but you know, you do it 2 years in a row, you're good. Now, is he going to go on and be the franchise quarterback? It certainly appears that way. Back-to-back seasons. You're doing it, and you're getting it done.
I don't know.
For real.
I'm starting to believe Bear is a franchise quarterback if he's got Sean McVay as a head coach.
Man. Yes, Bear.
Your kicker thing wasn't even a stat. His name is...
That's research, though. It's research.
No.
Doug, I researched
you
the
looked
name
up
the
his name.
I was watching
Goody.
Oklahoma, Texas, and I thought, and then Dicker made the kicker.
Yes.
And I thought, wait.
There was no stat.
That's so funny.
And it's Isn't that what research and Doug is
it's
supposed to be?
It's doing research. And I did research.
It's pronounced Diker.
It is not. Coming up next, Pete Carroll is headed to Seattle. That's so funny. We give you the best from the NFC West next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.